The Marching Round Table is proud to be an official media partner of Drum Corps International.
WGI Rewind.
On this episode, Irving Lopez, well known as Punk Rock Irving on Instagram, along with Angie Mayhew and Jeff Sperling, talk about Northern Lights 2006, Imagine, or Meditation in Memory of John Lennon.
I owe this show everything. It's one of those shows that I can watch over and over again, and just, I'd never get tired of it. It's timeless to me. It always gives me goosebumps. It always inspires me. When Northern Lights was all male like that, it's one of those things where, as we know, color guard has this like stereotype of like being a very feminine sport. And while I love all the color guard women that are on it, they're so amazing. It's one thing where all the color guard boys can relate on one thing, where it's like, you know, we got teased for being in color guard for doing all this stuff. And I think Northern Lights was this amazing winter guard where they were like a hammer that smashed that stereotype that said, hey, it's okay to be a boy and be in color guard and dance like this and look beautiful and look strong and be in color guard like this.
I just think that they get back to like things that are really great about color guard, which are like some of their ensemble moments. And I'm sure, like just Jeffrey said, it was like different in the audience, but even watching the video, it has such an impact because they are so clean. And that is just what we like about color guard, like that stuff and the effectiveness that it has on an audience because it's so together and it's so effective. That was honestly one of my favorite parts watching it, like every time.
It was actually an accident that happened. Like they were teaching it and they were going through the counts and someone forgot to go down. One of the instructors, wait, oh my God, I love that. Do that. That just gives me a whole other respect for it, if that is true, just because I really do love that organic process of, like, they're doing movement and that kind of, like, I don't know, to quote Bob Ross, but, like, that happy accident became, like, a really memorable moment.
The Marching Roundtable presents WGI Rewatch. A group of friends watch one of their favorite shows, talk about why it's rewatchable, how it's held up over the years, the most rewatchable moment for each section, and how it might be different if produced today. If you'd like to talk about your favorite show, contact Tim at marchingroundtable.com. WGI Color Guard Rewatch podcasts are sponsored by Style Plus, found at styleplusband.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Marching Roundtable. This is Tim Hinton. Thank you so much for being here. We are talking about WGI Rewatch Color Guard show tonight, Northern Lights 2006. What a great show. The man of the hour tonight, Irving Lopez. Irving, how are you?
Great. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. You're sort of like the main guy tonight. You put a panel together. Jeffrey Sperling, how are you?
Living the dream.
I said I was going to call you Jeff, and now I'm calling you Jeffrey. So thank you for being here. Angie Mayhew, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm awesome. So Irving, everybody knows you as Punk Rock Irving. You're sort of an internet sensation. You want to talk about how that came to be?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So it's been about, man, I've been doing it for like a good 6 years now. And I really never thought it would really take off on my Instagram. But I'm kind of known as the Patricia guy. So like that meme took off. Once the famous Patricia thing. So every single time I see people, it's always like, oh my God, it's the Patricia guy. It's something that I was just doing for fun. I always loved comedy and wanted to bring it over to color guard. And it's something that I just continued doing and thought it would be fun just because it just felt like a void that we were missing in color guard. And I kind of wanted to be that person. And now it's just kind of one of those things where I just keep doing it just for fun. It's a fun thing for me and a new outlet for color guard, I think. So it's great. It's fun. I love doing it. It's I've met so many great people through it, including Angie. It's great. I love it. I'm very thankful for it, especially all the people that really love like the content. It's, I guess there's this like new digital age now with influencers, color guard influencers. I know Angie was recently in an article for WGI where she was talking about that. That was really perfectly said, where now just it's great because I feel like color guard kids are able to just kind of like look at the internet and just see these people spinning. You know, more people are spinning on putting yourself like on video. And I feel like before that was kind of people were scared to put themselves on the internet. So it's fun. It's great. I think it's something new and it's something good for the activity.
Cool. So, Angie, what were you a part of for the article?
I was interviewed for WGI about my opinions on social media, I guess. It was a super interesting article. And like you said, I talked a lot about how you don't necessarily have to be a part of the best color guard in the nation anymore to be inspired by people a part of the activity. So like, whereas a couple years ago, even like 5-10 years ago, it used to be like, oh, I'm from the West Coast, this is what I know. I'm from the East Coast, this is what I know. Now it's kind of like unified the activity in a way where you don't have to have like the world's best director to be able to get these skills or these like phrases from online and to be able to learn them. You know, it's much more like self-taught, I think, which really makes it seem like the community in general is smaller because like Irving lives on the other side of the country and I've met him through this, you know? So in that sense, it's sort of like brought everybody in the activity together, I think. So I definitely, like you said, I talked about the pros and cons a little bit, but I think overall it's a good thing. It's where the activity should be pushing towards, I think.
Very cool. And Irving, I have to tell you, I'm all for people having more fun and laughing and not taking themselves quite so seriously. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into a band clinic and said, hey guys, we're just supposed to be fun. We're putting on a show. Let's all lighten up and let's have a good time. And of course, we all want to be serious and perform well, but I'm all for bringing some of that to the front. So I love that you're doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, cool. So why Jeff and Angie as your partners in crime tonight for this discussion?
Yeah. So I'll talk about Jeff for a second. Like Jeff, I met him back at Blue Devils. We marched together in 2011 and aged out together as well. So I think Jeff coming in, we just kind of hit it off. I think Jeff is a really great, personable, very funny guy that I got along with. And we've been friends ever since. I like to call him, as everybody knows him, as the Color Guard Encyclopedia, because he knows everything about everyone who taught where and what phrase was written by who. And, you know, he's just so geeky about it. And I love talking about Color Guard with him because he's just so knowledgeable about the activity. I mean, I'll let him talk about it for himself, but he has a really great Winter Guard now called Origins. And I'm such a fan of the organization. I think he's doing a really awesome job over there. And Angie, like I said, she's also a Color Guard influencer, and I think she's really awesome, amazing, inspiring. I've seen so many of her performances with Pride of Cincinnati, and I'm just such a fan of her. She's so good, and I know she inspires so many people. Like, she inspires me.
Wow. Okay, guys. A lot to live up to there. So that's awesome. Jeff, what's the name of the guard? Origins?
Origins, also confused with oranges. Yeah.
And Jeff, you've often been sort of a encyclopedia, huh? So you know a lot about who did what. It's fun to sort of be in the know and keep up with that stuff.
Absolutely. I actually, a talking point that I usually have is just color guard as an art form. Unlike other art forms, we don't have a really good sense of our history. You know, I really respect people like Rosie Queen, you know, and individuals like that that really know the history of color guard. You know, I teach kids that nowadays don't even know who Zydeco was, you know, and it's just so crazy. You know, every year when Origins comes out, we post on the website their favorite shows, and they're like, you know, 2018 Pride of Cincinnati, and that's a great show, but I'm like, what about 92 Excavate? Can we talk about that? You know, there's just so much about that I really respect. You know, as a full-time designer now, I spent and continue to spend hours and days just watching shows and studying what has come before in order to understand what I want to do.
Well, which is exactly, quite honestly, the reason behind this whole podcast series is to rewatch old shows, talk about why they're so great, remind people about them, and learn the sort of the process. Why is it great? Like, why is this Northern Lights show in 2006 called Meditation in Memory of John Lennon? Why does everybody love it so much? I mean, it's one of those shows I know is iconic and made an impact on me. So, like, why? That's one of the things we're going to talk about. So I think it's awesome you mentioned that, Jeff. I think we need to know more about our history. And so hopefully we can do some of that. So, Irving, why this show, Northern Lights 2006?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Where do I start? I mean, first of all, just let me
thank you for giving me a platform to for me to geek out and just talk about my favorite Winter Guard show ever. Like, I owe this show everything. It's one of those shows that I can watch over and over again, and just I never get tired of it. It's timeless to me. It always gives me goosebumps. It always inspires me. And I always take something different from it every single time I watch it as the years come by. Watching this show, I watched this show live actually when I was 15. And for a young, awkward color guard boy, being 15, watching that show, it meant everything to me as also past years of like when Northern Lights was all male like that. It's one of those things where, as we know, color guard has this like stereotype of like being a very feminine sport. And while I love all the color guard women that are on it, they're so amazing. It's one thing where all the color guard boys can relate on one thing where it's like, you know, we got teased for being in color guard for doing all this stuff. And I think Northern Lights was this amazing Winter Guard where they were able to just take, they were like a hammer that smashed that stereotype that said, hey, it's okay to be a boy and be in color guard and dance like this and look beautiful and look strong and be in color guard like this. So I owe this color guard everything. And this show, Imagine, is just so beautiful and just a beautiful period to their run, because unfortunately they folded right after that. So I love this show. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It makes me happy. So, and I'm sure we'll dive into it more, but yeah, that's my take on it.
So Jeff or Angie, tell me why you love this show. Why is it rewatchable?
Oh, I mean, there's so many reasons why I love this show. I also saw this show live. This was like one of my first WGIs that I ever attended. And I can just tell you that there's something very different between watching the video and actually being there and always feeling that.
Always.
I mean, besides for talking about the aesthetic and the choreographic choices, I think that there's a really interesting dynamic about exactly what Irving talked about all one gender color guards, especially male, because they tend to be the minority. I just think that there's something truly special. I mean, it's the reason why when I watch South Shore sometimes, you know, that I get there. There's so many things I don't even know. That would be like the whole conversation talking about the show. But definitely, I do think that the all-male aspect of it stands out immediately in my mind. Just the way in which I even take it in, the way in which I process the program, I'm not necessarily, I don't know if distracted is the right word, but there's just certain things that I'm able to pay less attention to and pay more attention to others because it's all-male, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does to me. And I can tell you, I'm just going to put it right out there and say, I am so old that I was at WGI in 1982 and saw the Cavaliers come out and just kill everybody with that West Side Story Jets show. And so I know the power of... Do what?
I'm so jealous. I'm sure that was so amazing.
It was incredible. In fact, I'll never forget when they came out. Like they came out in their little green Jets jackets and get ready to perform the last show. And like, you could tell they could just smell the blood in the water. Like they just knew they were just owning it. And something about that masculine energy was super, super exciting for the Cavvies back then. And certainly when Northern Lights were all male in 2004 through 2006, something really special about that. So I love we're talking about that. Angie, you want to say why you think the show is so rewatchable before we jump into some details?
Yeah, sure. Of course, it being all male is a big deal, especially like at that time, like he was saying. I do like that it doesn't have any of the male stereotypes. Like, it does have an all rifle feature, but I feel like, just like Irving said, they dance just as well as anybody in the activity. It's not stereotyped to be male at all, which I thought was super innovative for the time. And then on top of that, I just think that they get back to like things that are really great about color guard, which are like some of their ensemble moments are just like, and I'm sure like just Jeffrey said, it was like different in the audience, but even watching the video, it has such an impact because they are so clean. And that is just what we like about color guard, like that stuff and the effectiveness that it has on an audience because it's so together and it's so effective. That was honestly one of my favorite parts watching it like every time.
Yeah, the level of excellence is just ridiculous. So all those pieces combine. So, all right. So do you want to start talking about certain sections, or how would you like to proceed, Irving? What would you like to do next?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's dive into it.
Okay, so pick what you want to talk about. Sabers, rifles, flags, dance, movement, whatever. Where do you want to go first?
Yeah, let's see. I kind of want to dive into like the first thing that it's probably one of my favorite parts and most memorable, but like, let's talk about that, the middle part of that show, the all male like movement part, the just simple, the, you know, we all know the phrases, the, from the musical cues, the tutum, tutum, like, you know, and all those males standing. That's probably my favorite dance phrase of all time. And I'm biased. It's so beautiful. Just the movement is so different this year from with Northern Lights, because the years past, I know they were focusing more on equipment, and yes, they absolutely moved and they could move in those past years, but they really made an effort to put more movement into the show in 06 and just gave it a whole like middle phrase in the middle of the show. And although that moment where they're just doing that simple, like roll on the ground, like one guy standing up kind of thing. It was just, that was like the most goosebumps I've ever had watching any show. Like one of those moments that like brings tears to my eyes, almost like just imagining how it felt just seeing that over again. So, and just how beautiful they look, you know, as the, these guys, it's definitely one of my favorite moments of all time. Hands down.
Yeah, I like that part. Like I said earlier, it's just the musicality of that specific part that you're talking about is really what just, and you can hear it in the video, which is my favorite thing. People screaming in the silences because of how musical it is. And like he said, it's not any bit less graceful or less beautiful because it's all male, which is really great. I think it puts a whole different level on top of it.
I think personally, what is so interesting about it, I was just having a conversation with one of my staff members, Nicole Younger, about this, and she informed me that it was actually on accident that happened. Like they were teaching it and they were going through the counts and someone forgot to go down.
Wow.
One of the instructors, wait, oh my God, I love that, do that. And that just gives me a whole other respect for it, if that is true, just because I really do love that organic process of, like, they're doing movement and that kind of, like, I don't know, to quote Bob Ross, but, like, that happy accident became, like, a really memorable moment. But I think what I love about that moment the most is I actually, stemming from that, I mean, one of my favorite things at the beginning is, like, when they just swing their arms in tempo. Yeah. Just really interesting. And I don't want to go full circle because I have my own opinions about social media and all that. But like, it's really interesting in a environment that I feel is very trick heavy now to go back to a time where I felt like more nuanced. I don't like to say simplistic because it sounds like it's basic and that's not what I mean. But like, there's just a vulnerability about it that I don't think that you necessarily see because everyone wants to do this, that, and the other, flippity-doo-dah. And I think that truthfully, I know this will be a later question, but I think the color guard that I really respect for the exact same reasons is Imbue. Because there's moments in their shows that my favorite moments, just like this, that deal nothing with equipment or with vocabulary as much as the emotional aspect of it. Does that make sense?
There's a similar moment in the flags part. I know we're talking about dancers still, but I just caught myself rewinding the same part and watching it over and over again. They swing their leg before the flag entrance, and it's like you're talking about those simplistic things, that it's more about an aesthetic. It's more about like the feel of the show than it is about doing the most at that moment. And you have to understand the control of your body, and like you have to know what the motivation is behind it, I think, for it to come across. Like I was just talking to my friend the other day, if I had my A-guard kids do that leg swing, it would not be at all the same effect, because they, and that's the best part, is it takes that level of professionalism to pull off those simple moments, and that's what makes it even more great, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. To jump off of what Angie was saying, I often tell my students, it's like I'm going to bring out this arm and this hand, and even though it's so simple and a pedestrian can do it, what moment are you bringing to this arm or this hand that's going to make it so special, from as opposed to a pedestrian? And yeah, that's exactly it. There's those moments with Northern Lights that you guys were talking about. Like, I know that leg swing, you said it, and I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I love that moment. It just, it works so well. And as a whole, musicality-wise, it works so well, and it builds moments even better, and it lets you take a little bit of breather, especially in that middle dance section, just to kind of like come on down with them. But at the same time, still the show keeps moving, the show still keeps building. And although they do a little such crazy stuff in the beginning, it lets you breathe, build up, and then it goes into like such craziness next, into the Indian rifle part that I love so much.
And circling back to social media in general, I think that makes like, that is what I think, that's why this guard is timeless. That's why people in general that you like, your favorite performers are not necessarily the people that can do the crazy tricks. They're people that make you, that emote, that make you have like feel something and have the quality that you're looking for. So I think that's like that quality that these boys can get from this show is really what makes this show like stand out. It's not that they're doing the craziest thing. It's that they are making people understand that it's a quality in them. You know?
Well, and I have to weigh in and just say that, like, to me, the moment when they're doing the least is the most powerful thing we all remember. And there's a lesson there for us. Sometimes less is more. Sometimes stopping and being still. It reminds me, since you guys are Blue Devils guys, I'll mention this. I had a wonderful series of conversations with Scott Chandler about, and it's in a course you can find at marchingartseducation.com, where there's like 5 hours of material where he talks about his whole process of how he does stuff. It's amazing. But he talked about, if you remember at the beginning of the ballet in that Shakespeare show, and the guard just came out from behind the props and just walked forward. And in there, during that conversation, he explained about how much pushback he got for that. I mean, he was like this, and he's like trying to explain to the judging community and others, like, this is really hard for them to just simply come out from behind the prop and walk forward, commanding the stage, not doing anything, but they're really doing a whole lot. It's such an interesting conversation. I'd encourage anybody to check that out, but just wanted to mention that because it's the same sort of thing. It's the presence that the man left standing had when the others disappear for that one brief moment. And I also want to mention it's because that's where the singing starts. And so there's also something also really significant about how they placed it right there that's really special.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, ditto. Diving into that, I was watching the show once again, and I feel like I got a different take from it as well from a design standpoint and just overall messaging. Like, I like to imagine that, like, the start of that show when it comes out, it's like kind of like a John Legend kind of figure, John Lennon kind of figure coming out and just looking at the world and seeing all the equipment. I like to see it. I like to, for me, it just kind of feels like it represents like different parts of the world, like on their own, spinning on their own, being on their own. And although they're great and significant, there's all this conflict within the sections. In the middle, it's kind of one of those, the movement part that we were just talking about. I like to see it as like a moment where it's like, it just takes one person to kind of bring the world together. And then at the end, it's like, boom, just this peace, this utopia that John Lennon was picturing in my head, where like his dream came true. Whereas you see the rifles there that are in the clouds, like his dream coming true. But yeah, like, I mean, that from a standpoint of like interpreting the show, that's kind of what it means to me. And it brings, I feel like that is so timeless. That's always a really great reminder, time and time again, of just not outside of Color Guard. It just felt like a bigger message outside of Color Guard to me.
I had a similar insight with the design while I was watching it today, because like you're saying, they start the show individualized as well as like, that's what they're trying to portray the world as being. I think that the music in the show is so interesting to me because it starts off so minimalistic. And it's just the piano notes. And then you realize that by the end, it has been the underlayer of the song the entire time. I think that relates to kind of what you're saying. I loved that aspect of it because it related to the overall meaning of the show. we are all separate. We are all doing our own thing, and we realize it's part of something bigger. So that was one of my favorite parts about that show, getting to hear the music and listening to it in my headphones today before I got on here. I was like, wow, that is something that is by far definitely understated in that show for sure.
So Jeff, am I right that movement sequence we're discussing, where they're in that sort of tight group and they're all moving in unison, is that the first time that all of them move in unison during the whole production? I think it might be.
Quite honestly, first of all, when Irving was talking about it, I was like, did you have the spiel sheet? Because I was like, I'm in design mode right now. So I was like, yes, you know, the multiplicity of elements happening. From that standpoint. So now, like, I'm hearing you say this, and it's like blowing my mind. Like, I want to rewatch it because now I'm like, you're totally right. Because I was like, I kept asking myself, like, oh, they moved from an ensemble moment to an ensemble moment, you know, with that whole question of how things hold up through time. And I was like, wow, conceptually, all that makes sense now. But yes, I mean, I would have to rewatch it again, actually, to notice that. But I believe so.
Yeah, which I think is part of the brilliance of the design, as we're talking about starting individuals and they're doing all these small groups in unison, and it all sort of comes together for this movement sequence. Super amazing. Is there a most rewatchable flag moment that we want to talk about?
Well, as we can see from this show, there's very minimal flag spinning in this show, unfortunately.
Right.
But those flags in the beginning, when they're in separate sections, I also feel like I'm not trying to take a jab at WGI, but I feel like they didn't get the right, you know, WGI cam time either. I feel like a lot of the weapons took up that time on the cam when you watch the video. But I think that flag moment, when as it's like kind of building up and it goes over to like side two in the corner, I love that moment where they toss and they catch on the floor and then they lay down. It's beautiful. I also like that. I feel like I didn't get this earlier, but the flags, they actually start with their silk open on the floor. And I didn't notice that for the longest time, actually. Mm-hmm. But I love that too, because it just feels like such a, like you don't start with the silk open like that. It's like, why are you going to show off your silk right away like that? But I just love it that they're just like, here's the silk.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think the flag solo in the beginning is one of my favorite parts, because he's just doing, like, the things that he's doing are so interesting to me. Like, he's in the middle of the floor with the flag, like in a cradle position. That caught my eye right away. But my favorite flag moment is definitely what I was talking about earlier with the flags, like the leg swing into the reinitiation of the flag on one. That's my favorite part, I think. And right before that, they do this crazy like 45 release like exchange, which gets no hype at all. Like, and maybe it's the cameras like you're talking about, but that is a really cool moment. And that's before the leg swings. That build up into that reinitiation is definitely my favorite flag part for sure.
Wow. Yeah. It's always hard to watch it because, you know, we exist in this multicam verse right now where that's the only recording that's really out there. Yeah. Truthfully, actually, my favorite flag phrase actually leads into Irving's flag phrase. When the Sabres are doing a feature up front in the 50, the flags are like cutting through this flat plane. They work into this one-handed manipulation with the turnaround, which for 2006, maybe I'm remembering wrong, but I think a turnaround was like, it was just so smooth. I mean, I really love the writing. I like all the writing in general for that, like for Northern Lights. So I was a big fan of that phrase, though.
So have you guys geeked out enough to go back and learn that phrase and do it yourself? I'm assuming you all have. Isn't that part of it?
Definitely similar element, for sure.
No, it's funny. There's always times that I go back and I'll learn like a quick little 16 count phrase I remember. Like for example, like there's this one part we're just talking about, like the simplicity of stuff and how effective it is. There's this part where the rifle, I think it's the ending actually, where the rifles are standing still. They just caught something and it's about to split up into two blocks, but the rifles that are holding, they go into this attitude hold, and they just start doing like these single hits. I love that. It looks so good as they're just coming out there. I think they do like 8 of them before they go on and do something else.
And that's not really something that you see people having like the guts to do these days, I guess, because that is a technical thing to stand. And like, I thought about that too. Well, I can't remember the last time I saw someone do like 8 counts of one-handed double time on their right hand, because it's just like, and that goes to like how much the sport has evolutionized and everything. But that is hard in itself. Those are simplistic things that we take for granted, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, not to sound old, but I call those manual skills. yes, I don't think that people do anywhere near as much manual skills, you know, like double time in general. I mean, that's something every time Warren Central, I mean, shout out to Jeff Robleski. Every time I see it, I'm like, yes, ma'am, you got me.
It's awesome.
Totally.
Okay, so you want to move on to Saber moments?
Yeah, Saber. Let's see. Yeah, I think Jeffrey was touching upon it. That moment when the sabers are kind of going across from side two to side one, those like the camera's very nice to them too. They have a lot of really great. What I appreciate with them too, their choreography. There's rarely a time in general with all the pieces of equipment. There's rarely a time where their feet are standing still. There's always like some kind of big body movement with everything that they're doing on their saber. But at the same time, the saber work they're doing is so freaking hard. Like they're just hitting all these planes and these angles and catching them in these like impossible and scary places where I can't imagine how scary it must have been. As like we've all like performed at WGI finals, and to do that on the front at on WGI finals night and do it so gracefully, so beautifully, with such confidence is so crazy to me. And I love those moments coming in. So yeah, no, that movement coming from side two to side one, definitely my favorite part of the saber phrase.
Yeah, I really like their saber book. I just really like the saber entrances, honestly. Like that is when I think it's the first time. Oh no, it's not. We're on equipment individualized in the beginning, but it's the first like musical cue, I would say. It's been pretty like consistently not happening until the sabers come in, and that's probably my favorite part, when the piano finally starts to kick in and they're like, yeah, they do like some interesting skills. That guy catches in a split. I love all of it.
My favorite saber phrase actually tail ends Irving's saber phrase this time.
It's always the one right after.
This one, like they're doing their feature in the center, right? It is, I mean, like, so they're gradually moving over, but it's truthfully, it's right after the rifle cannon when they really start to move over into the corner on side one, that like they're in like duets moving across. I love the shaping of that moment. I'm just such a big fan of that writing in general. I mean, whenever you're writing cohesive parts together and they just look like that with that shaping, I'm just, it's tasty.
That, is there anything about this show that's not tasty? I don't know.
No, definitely not.
That's
yeah,
a good
I
word
think this
it.
Show in general was obviously very rifle heavy in general. Would have loved seeing more saber and flag in general. It's perfect to me, but it's, if we're going to talk about Northern Lights saber, I think a really great moment to talk about just briefly, obviously, because we're not talking about that show, but 2005, that moment where they're in the block and then just go into these like hilt fives and then go into right, turn around and go into this like blade six right after that. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but I think that was probably one of my favorite saber years when we talk about the all male Northern Lights organization. But I think this year for 06 was all about rifle, especially with that ending, obviously.
So let's talk about rifle. Why do you think, anybody have a theory as to why they decided it was going to be so much rifle significance in this show?
Go ahead, Jeffrey, go ahead.
I would just say that definitely, well, first of all, a shout out, if we're going back to Northern Lights, for flag would definitely be when they did Einstein on the Beach. I think that's like, what, 2002? If I'm not mistaken, that great flag moment. Anyways, in terms of rifle, I think that it's, I think it was a part of their identity. I mean, truthfully, like the thing that I remember about Northern Lights specifically is that I think that there's definitely an impact to it. I mean, there's something about an entire ensemble being on a piece of equipment that just generates an effect that Whether or not it's technically sound, which in this case it was, I mean, there's just something about it. I mean, that moment that you notice and you remember. And I think that's something about, they started the show the year prior, right? Because that was Shawshank Redemption, was the other mm-hmm. life?
Yeah, they started with the show the year yeah.
with it. So I thought that ending the show with it was kind of a perfect tie-in. And again, that whole gender stereotypes moving on to Rifle at the end. And I don't know whether or not they knew it was their last year, but I just think that that's such a interesting way to end the show. You know, it's not often that you see an ensemble weapon phrase as the finish of a show.
Yeah, no, that's exactly that. I was going to touch on that. That's exactly it. I think them doing so much Rifle was part of their identity, especially since males are typically on the gun line most of the time. And then coming off all male the first couple of years, they were known for doing really amazing and crazy like stunts with gun, I mean, and saber as well. But I feel like gun was really like their moment to shine, where like, okay, we're gonna own this. We know stereotypically more males spin rifle, and I think them ending their show like that, it was kind of like this, like as Jeffrey was perfectly put it already, like it's like this perfect period to like their long run as a all male.
Yeah, I think in addition to Rifle being their strength, ending the show and just trying to show that unity that they had at the end, the power of the Rifle, I think it came off as more of a powerful piece of equipment, as I'm sure like the music grew and all that thing. That's what they're really trying to portray at the end, is like a sense of power and unity together. And you're right. Nobody ends a WGI show with a rifle toss. I thought about that earlier, like they caught and then it was basically over. So that's like, they really were going until the last second on that piece of equipment. I thought it was like super effective finishing the show with a flat front, like rifle release. This is what we're doing. This is what we got for you. And I loved that part of it.
Yeah.
You're here.
Yes. Here.
I'm just letting that sink in. That's nice. Yeah, I mean, it's the Rifle stuff's amazing. And to me, it's sort of, Angie, what you just described to me is like so ballsy, gutsy, you know, like you just, yeah. Like, I mean, I understand why instructors have everybody turn every different way when they're going to toss and catch in unison, mm-hmm. but like, I love it when they're just like, we've got this and we're all going to just face you. Yeah. And do it. That's...
Yeah, one of the most ballsy moments I think in the whole show is that entire Rifle exchange craziness they have on the right side of the floor right before that part. That is really yes, the sport has gotten so harder in some aspects in the last 10 or so years, but
just today, a little bit.
Today, but today that holds up. That part over there is like, that would be nerve wracking. To be in that part, like if you watch the risk that they take doing all of those skills, and that's before they've even like done anything together on Rifle. That was one of my favorite parts, watching it and then they multicam like up close, and I was like, I can't believe that they just passed that gun back and forth as many times as they did. That was one of my favorite parts in general.
Yeah, and I can't imagine how hard it must have been. Can you just imagine like all those exchanges that they were making during that time, like how hard it was to write that, and also yeah. how hard to be like, all right, who has my gun? I can't imagine being a member being, all right, who has my gun? And I was like, does it really even matter at that point? Like, do you really own a gun? Do you just pick up a random gun at that point, you know?
It would. You know, there was someone in that guard that was like, reset. All right, who has it?
Yeah, first I have this person's, now this person's, reset.
The mind differently.
Yeah, I thought about that too. And they do it like, they come out, the first thing that they do is exchange too. Like that big 45 toss exchange, that's the first thing that they do on Rifle, I'm pretty sure, in the back corner. It's just ridiculous. Like this, like the risk that they have, and nobody misses the mark. That's the best part. It's like, it's great. It's achieved so well.
No, I think, sorry, Jeff.
No, go on.
No, I was going to say that I think that's also was part of like a Northern Lights kind of thing. Like they were known for that many exchanges where, I mean, you really do always see exchanges in Color Guard, and they're always really great, but they're usually only like maybe like one big exchange. Okay, cool, exciting toss. But with Northern Lights, they do one huge exchange and we're like, oh my god, and then they just keep going and going and going. There's always there's another, oh my God, this rifle's coming to, from my left side. It's, okay, I'm going to toss a seven and run away and catch somebody else's rifle. Okay, now I'm going to do this parallel, and this rifle's going to come around my stomach now, and I'm going to catch that one or something. It's insane. So I thought that was very much a Northern Lights kind of thing to do, which I obviously love.
And I just wanted to add that part of the reason that I enjoy that moment, but even when they move down to the bottom right-hand corner is really because of the density of the moment. I think that that creates a whole other element to it that, like, you know, when things are flying by my head, like, I always make a joke. I'm like, I'm not on my parents' insurance anymore. So, like, I'm not doing this, that, or the other. But, like, things are just flying, and it's close. I mean, I think that that's definitely something to, like, pay attention to, because I think density creates its own challenges. And, you know, like Angie said, with risk comes reward. So, they paid off.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to say, as grumpy old guy on the recording tonight, that to me, the point that I love about all those exchanges with the rifles is that it looks like art to me. It doesn't look like tricks. It doesn't look like trying to impress somebody with what I can do. It looks like a phrase that builds and is constructed so complexly that it's taking me somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just gratuitous, but it's like it makes sense with the music, with the phrasing. I don't know how anybody ever constructed that, but that to me looks like a beautiful lyrical musical phrase that happens to include all this wood flying around. Yeah. That, you know what I mean? Trying to say?
Yeah, I feel that way about the entire rifle moment on the right side of the floor. Yeah. It's just so smart the way that they constructed it. There's that flat toss where they wrap around and like that moment is so musical, and the density adds to it, of course, but the layering on top of it being such a dense moment is really what makes it like so smart and ahead of its time, I think, because you have to have such a brain to think like that. And that's, in addition to the achievement, that's like one of my favorite parts is how they were able to layer each person and make it that much more effective without everybody doing the same thing. Like the flat front all doing the same thing moments have their effectiveness, but then the layering in that one part is just another level, I think.
Yeah, and just the kind of performer it takes to perform something like that and actually execute it correctly. Yeah. There's always something, it's weird. I've had this discussion with friends where sometimes these color guards are so good and you see them doing something really hard and you relate to it because you've done something similar to that. You're like, wow, that was really hard, but it almost doesn't seem hard because of how confident they do it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, where you're like, wait, you just did that, but it doesn't look like they're in this survival mode, as like we like to call it in color guard. They do it with such just grace and confidence. That is amazing.
Yeah, I think that goes back to the professionalism thing that we were talking about, because you could be a different group and attempt the same sort of moment that they did, and it would not come off nearly as well. So that just puts them even more on top of, you know, that.
But even with that, I'm just going to comment on the stamina. I mean, I know that, like, doing an entire dance feature and then, like, because that's the last thing they do. I mean, you've gone through 5 minutes of show, an entire dance feature as an ensemble. And then you have to have the hardest, most like complex part of the show, in my opinion, for individual responsibilities. Yeah.
And the length of phrase they have with that rifle thing, there's no break in it either. It's like bang, bang, bang all the way to the end till they lay down. So I agree with that.
Yeah. And I would just say, anybody that's going to watch this again, because that's what we're hoping you'll do. Like, we're all going to go back. I'm going to go back and rewatch it again after this conversation. But like, I think you can see when they show the close up of some of that rifle exchange part, you can see the individual performers being so great. Okay. They're so accomplished that you can see them making slight adjustments. Like, somebody's rifle is going 6 inches off, and you can see them just very deftly lean a little bit extra and pull it in. And like, they're in control of it. In such an artistic way. That's so impressive to me when somebody has that kind of just natural competence and excellence about what they're doing. And they're all that way. Okay, so shall we move forward to what if the show was done? Are we ready to move forward to like present day thoughts?
We continue our discussion, including considering how this show might be different if produced today, after this short sponsor message.
The WGI Color Guard Rewatch podcast series is sponsored by Style Plus, found at styleplusband.com. Style Plus is the exclusive vendor of the revolutionary Genesis flag, as spun by the Cadets and Spirit of Atlanta. The S5 guard shoe, as worn by the DCI champion Blue Devils, and Grip Factor guard glove, as worn by Paramount Winter Guard. These top-selling products are well-stocked and ready to meet your demands and expectations in quality, comfort, and convenience. Style Plus also offers gloves, shoes, flags, rifles, costumes, and numerous band and color guard accessories with the end consumer always in mind. Visit StylePlusBand.com to view their hundreds of products and find what best suits your event. Style Plus, focusing on tomorrow.
Okay, so shall we move forward to what if the show was done? Are we ready to move forward to like present day thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay, so how would the show be different if we were going to do it in 2020 in the upcoming season? Anybody want to venture the first thought there?
Is the phrase of the question is how would it be different if Northern Lights did it, or does that make sense?
It doesn't matter. I sort of like what would be different about a show. It's really however you want to talk about it. But I think that I think the concept is sort of like if we were producing this show today for this year's activity, how would it be different? How would people do it differently? How would it need to be different? Could it be the same? That doesn't have to be what we talk about, but that's sort of the concept.
I feel like I'm so biased. I feel like it's such a perfect show that I wouldn't want to change everything, but I almost feel like it wouldn't exactly work in the same way. I don't know. It's a little difficult to explain. I don't know. Maybe I'm just biased. I think the show's perfect. I wouldn't change anything about it. And if it was done today,
that's fair.
I think it would still do just as well.
I mean, I had to look at the show through that lens just based on the questions that you presented us before this. And I do believe that it would still be competitive within the world classification. Sorry, I don't know why I'm still in the middle of that. The world classification.
Winter Guard International World Class Classification of Indigenous Honor.
But I do, I mean, just because of the multiplicity of parts that are happening simultaneously, just looking at the writing, I mean, even with what Irving just talked about and really actually being able to like pick through this the way that we have, I think that there are a lot of things that still check the boxes on the sheets. I think with the whole spiel sheet that exists now, why do I keep saying spiel? Anyone? Hey, either way, with that, I think you could even have a little bit more depth to it. I don't necessarily know. I wrestle with that because I oftentimes will go back to what I said earlier, which is would a guard put out something so vulnerable at those moments? But I do think, you know, there is an emotional aspect to effect. So, I mean, if those performers were able to do that at such a high caliber, I don't see a reason why that wouldn't go on the sheet. Like if that wouldn't coordinate competitively, I guess you could say. I would just say that maybe vocabulary wise, there would be a few areas that I would see them needing a few more things, like their, I call it sprinkles, like where you see the tricks that are kind of thrown in, just to kind of modernize that in terms of what is considered difficulty. I don't know if that's the right word. But just to give it a little bit more range. But I mean, I'm with Irving. I truthfully think that if this show were produced today, that it would still be in world-class finals. World-class classification finals.
Yeah, that's a hard one just because I feel like the sport has just changed so much even in the last 10 years. So it's hard to imagine that. I do think, like you're saying, the vocabulary would have to be bumped up a little bit just to be competitive in like the top five, I would say. But in general, like you're saying, the effect of it all is still world-class. The musicality of all is still world-class. So I think that it would still be competitive in that nature. I just don't know if it would hold up as skill-wise, just because it has advanced so much in even the past, like, 15 years.
So that makes me want to...
Oh my God, right? 15 years.
Okay, we don't have to go there. So, well, actually, it makes me want to ask this question, though, because this is sort of what I'm thinking. I'm wondering, were they just that far ahead of their time? Because when I watched the show again today before this, I was like, this is constructed very much like a modern show. Like all of the tricks at the beginning and the individual performers, like that wasn't, I don't think that was done typically as much as we saw it. Like, so is possibly one of the areas of discussion here that it was super progressive for 2006. And that's why it feels like it doesn't need to be revamped much.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that, actually. Now, I'm just thinking about, I mean, other color guards that were out at that time and how their shows, I mean, all winter guards have evolved, especially the ones that are still out today that were out then. And I don't think they would write the exact same way. I don't think other shows could survive today. But I think that one, I agree with you on that, Tim, where it was very progressive for its time and different enough where it's something that nobody's ever seen. An iconic moment that I feel, in a way, it's kind of, I feel like it's unmatched still. So I think it would still survive today.
I definitely agree that it was ahead of its time. I think production-wise, especially, like the design of it and the way that it's produced is something that you would see that's similar to, like, today's guards have more like bells and whistles per se, but the backbone, the skeleton of it, I think it was very much progressive because it really is something that you would see today.
I would say that the one element that it does not necessarily have that I see a lot of, especially in that top tier of the world classification, is just a prop to manipulate. That seems to be a really big trend right now. Yeah. I mean, even within 2006, I mean, Fantasia with those mattresses. I mean, I would say that I'm always such a huge fan of Fantasia because I truly believe it was like always ahead of its time. And it's a voice that like, bring Fantasia back, Carl, if you're listening. Right. There was something else about it, but this might be a weird comment, but I don't necessarily know if someone would do the show now. And the only reason I would say that is just because do the Beatles hold the same effect with younger kids 13 years later as they did in 2006? You know what I mean? Like even growing up for myself, and I was born in the 80s, I mean, there was still a detachment for me between the Beatles and like what my parents experienced. And I feel like every generation, it kind of gets to that point where like, I'm pretty sure there are people that do not know the Beatles.
I hate to say this, Jeff, I think the Bluecoats would probably disagree with you about that.
Okay. Yes. I'm just saying, I was just talking in general, like outside of necessarily.
I'm sorry. I couldn't stand it. I had to say it.
You're right, and I think part of that though was the presentation of the Bluecoats. I would not be surprised if even just watching that show, especially the fact that, you know, it was the White Album and all these things. I mean, listening to like Dean talk about the show, like there were things that like I'm sure that some people were hearing for the first time. I'm not saying and not find it entertaining. Absolutely. I think if they did this, I just think like the idea of John Lennon, I would be curious if I know this is crazy.
I'm giving a funny face. No, but I think Imagine is so iconic in our culture. I think everybody knows that song.
I think the way that it would best be modernized for, like, let's say it's coming out this winter, is it would not be, I mean, it would still be, but not as the forefront as a tribute to John Lennon as much as it is more about the universal message of it, like we were kind of talking about earlier with Irving. I think that is how it would best be modernized, because then it doesn't feel like this unrelatable man that at that point would have been, passed away like 30, 40 years ago, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it would be something that people can still relate to that still is what it is. I think that would be the best way to modernize it, because I agree with you. I mean, people know who the Beatles are, but also I think that it would need to stay up to date in that respect, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I meant by that is just the students that I teach nowadays, if I would say name four songs from a beat album, I don't know if they would be able to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I asked name each Beatle, I don't think they would be able to do that. And that's all that I mean. It's not the same. I think that, you know, even growing up, you know, if I asked my parents to name all five Beatles, they'd be able to, you know, and I just think that
I agree with you.
That time might have. And that's just a theory. I don't know, Tim.
No, you're absolutely right. And I was just giving you a hard time because you're absolutely right. Younger people do not know the Beatles. They don't know the songs as well. I just couldn't stand not giving you that little dig. But I think you're absolutely right. But I do think that Imagine transcends the Beatles, really, and is like this special thing. So
yeah, I feel like the Beatles in general are very timeless. And I feel as though even if teens don't know them now, they will know them eventually. They're too iconic. They're unforgettable. They're kind of one of those bands that just transcends time. And to go back to what Angie was saying about how I think the show would be modernized to not necessarily being a tribute to John Lennon, I think it would be more of a message of what's happening today in our country. Mm-hmm. You know, and what's going on, whether it's political or in the world or just being kind or nice to people. I think that message still holds.
I mean, even for me, someone that, you know, isn't too familiar with John Lennon or the Beatles in general, I think that, because I mean, I've been doing color guard a long time, but my first WGI was 2011. So it's like, this does seem something to me that was sort of older. So it's like, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to like do whatever, but that is the thing that appealed to me as somebody that wasn't too familiar with this was the message and the song, because I agree with you that the song is super timeless. So if it were to come out in 2020, I think it would definitely be like Imagine or something that unifies us in a world that we aren't really living in very united right now, you know.
And I would just add this, like, closing, although I don't know if it's closing, but this thought, which would just be, there's so many shows that I see today because of everything happening in the world, where I almost wonder if, I mean, this show would stand out, but I almost wonder if it would fit in a category, which I think in 2006, I wouldn't have had it in, if that makes sense. There's just a lot of shows about, like, the world and politics and things today, and I'm not saying that didn't exist back then, but I wonder if this would almost seem like a canon on a theme now rather than the beginning of that canon.
Yeah.
Interesting. I did ask you, and you mentioned this already, Jeff, but I did ask you sort of which guard you might want to see do it. So let's say Irving, the show is perfect. They're just going to redo it. Slight updates of sparkles. Do we know what guard we might want to see?
Yeah. Jeff already put it in my mind. And I think I'm banking in on the movement part of it. And I think the only guard that could do it right now, the way I can visualize it and confidently know is Imbue. Like I love the way they move, the way they breathe and the way they make some things so important. Even though it might be just arm movement or breathing, in the movement aspect, I think Imbue could make a show like that all over again. But then when I think about the whole, I guess, tricky aspect, all these exchanges, all this crazy stuff going on, all these high tosses, the vocabulary of the choreography, the first guard I think about is Pride of Cincinnati. But I feel like Pride of Cincinnati would take a whole different take on it, that makes it great for them. In a whole different perspective, and I'd be really interested to see something like that. So if I could have a baby winter guard that consisted of Imbue and Pride of Cincinnati put together, I think that guard could do it.
Pride of Imbue. Imbue of Cincinnati.
I mean, I think for me, honestly, I agree with you. I think Imbue would kill it, and I think that Pride it would be different, but it would still be good. I think though for me, my go-to for this show specifically is Paramount, just because we talked about like how that it's more of like an art piece. It's more of an art form than it is like a show about, you know, anything else. And I think that they really do achieve that in such a way that you could be doing an arm and it is the most beautiful, most intriguing thing I've ever seen. So the way that they have those subtleties about them, that would be my first choice to see the new revolutionized show. part of the show. Yeah.
Cool.
I definitely think, I don't know that there's a color guard today that I think actually could do the show. I mean, when Irving talks about like the full package of the show, I do think that this kind of stands alone. I don't think that it could necessarily be replicated. The reason that I just say imbue is, one, I can completely imagine a West Coast person. I mean, having being taught by Scott, I can imagine someone like that, knowing that Siobhan is not Scott, but just that thought process of someone sitting there and doing all those exchanges in dense spaces. But there's just something about the quality, the nuance, you know. I think that we live in such a world of like grandiose movement that we get lost in, we forget the gesture and the importance of the gesture or gestural qualities. And I think that that's something that, like, when I watch and view, like, I just leave and I feel so refreshed, because I feel like, and it's a conversation that we've even had in the advisory board 2 years ago. You know, I remember talking with Carol about it, which is just that there are so many color guards that I watch. I'm like, oh my God, like that is delicious, you know? And it's because movement is such an internal experience, but what we have to adjudicate is the external of it. So it's like, I think that so many things don't get the value that they should nowadays. And I think that that's something that, like, I mean, there's so many subtleties in the movement, like even just like the little like mudra, like when you see the guy set up and he has like his hands in a mudra, okay. You can relate that to yoga, but those are all like meditative things to like channel energy. Just like, even just those nuances, I feel like things like that would be important to Siobhan and her team there, just because I think that that would fall under that kind of identity that they have. But I would also just say that I think that MPU has a specific identity. I don't think they look like anyone else. And I think that I thought that about Northern Lights as well. And that, I mean, that's a topic in and of itself, which is just that identity crisis that we live in of Color Guard. And so, yeah, that's my opinion.
Well, which I think is part of why we still respond to this show, though. You know, like, they were so uniquely them, and it was all these guys, and they had this certain look, and they had this, like, you know, that was so Northern Lightsy, you can't even stand it. And that's why we love it after all this time, you know. Strangest turn of phrase ever. Guys, I love this conversation because we're, you know, not only talking about a show that we love, but we're talking about why we think it works and how it was designed and how it was performed. And that's why I think these conversations are so awesome. And you guys have like hit this conversation out of the park. Such a Irving, man. I can't believe this team you put together, man. Congratulations. This is like, you guys were all wonderful. So, Jeff and Irving and Angie, thank you guys so much for having this conversation. Really, really enjoyed it. If anybody's listening and you have a show and you'd like to talk about it with your friends, contact me, tim@marchingroundtable.com. We're going to have a whole series of these. I love it. Irving, anything you want to say before we go, since this is your night, you put this group together?
No, just thank you, all of you guys, for coming together, talking about, again, my favorite show of all time. I've never thought I'd be able to like just really spread the word out there how much I love this show and why it's so important. And people should go watch it today. I know it's on YouTube, unfortunately, RIP Fan Network. I miss it. But no, please go watch it. Please go YouTube it. It's such a great, iconic show that everybody should know and should love and appreciate as much as I do. And I thank all of you guys for coming together and talking to me about it.
Yeah, great. Angie, anything you want to say before we go?
Thanks so much for letting me geek out about Color Guard, which is what I do on the daily anyway. Getting to meet you guys and listen to your opinions is really inspiring to me. So thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Jeff, I guess you're getting the final word after all. So final thoughts?
I'm gonna say this is actually my first conversation with Angie ever. So hot. I mean, really, I just want to say how appreciative I am. Thank you so much, Irving, for this opportunity. Thank you, Tim. I've been dying to actually be on a podcast.
Awesome.
So I can't think of anything else. I just think that what you do is so important. And I'm not trying to pander to you, but like exactly what I said at the beginning, which is Color Guard has such a history and a richness to it. And I want people to appreciate it and love it the same way that we all do, you know? So I think what you do is just so important, especially for people coming into the activity, to know and learn more. And so thank you.
Cool.
I mean, much.
Oh, thank you. Guys, you were wonderful. So thank you so much for this conversation.
If you'd like to talk about one of your favorite shows on WGI Rewatch, contact Tim at marchingroundtable.com. Just choose a show and a couple of friends to join you. It can be any show, any year. Just choose a show you weren't involved with in any way, and let us know what you think about this discussion. Do you agree with the opinions of our panel? Join the discussion on the Marching Roundtable Facebook group page. And don't miss DCI Rewatch Podcasts, presented by the Marching Roundtable.
Don't miss our other WGI Color Guard Rewatch Podcasts, plus WGI Percussion Rewatch and DCI Rewatch Podcasts. If you're a fan of the Marching Roundtable, please tell a friend or colleague about us. Consider writing a review on iTunes or become a member. For as little as $2 a month, you can get access to every podcast release and help us keep creating and sharing this great information. Go to marchingroundtable.com and click on Podcast Membership. Thanks again to the sponsor of this podcast, Style Plus, found at styleplusband.com. This is your host, Tim Hinton, the Beast of the Marching Arts. Hear my marching band show arrangements at timhinton.com.
If you're a business that works with band directors, marching bands, color guards, or drum lines, you should sponsor podcasts at the Marching Roundtable. Our listeners are the exact audience you're trying to reach, and with thousands of podcast downloads each month, it's a great way to directly reach your target audience. For more information, click on the sponsorship opportunities link at marchingroundtable.com or email Tim at tim@marchingroundtable.com. You can grow your business and help support what we're doing here on the podcast.